truly showing the love of God. And so you can show me the Matthew chapter 22. And everything I'm reading today is from the New Living Translation. Matthew 22, starting at verse 34. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees with his reply, they met together to question him again. One of them, an expert in religious law, tried to trap him with this question: "Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses?" Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments." I just love that because it's simple, but sometimes we make it complicated, you know. It's love, you know, and the important thing is the first is to love God, and then the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. And it's amazing because this guy knew all the law, you know, he knew it frontwards and backwards, but he didn't have the love of God in him. And so it's so important that, you know, us as Christians, that, yeah, we can know the Bible front to back, but do we have that love of God in us? That's the most important thing. And then you can show me the 1 John chapter 4. Starting at verse 7. First John 4:7 says, "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins." That's so important because the only reason why we can love is because God first loved us. No man can love without the love of God. So verse 11 says, "Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us." And have you ever been out and met somebody that was another Christian, but before you knew they were Christian, you could see the love in them? You know, it says you know them by the love. I remember a few years back when we went to the Flashpoint thing down in Oklahoma, and it was like it was full of Christians, but you could see the love in each other. You could feel the love. And there's many other instances. I'm sure you've met people that, you know, or other Christians, and you can feel that love. There's like an instant connection. Verse 13, "And God has given us his Spirit as proof that we live in him and he in us. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. All who declare that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, all love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment, and this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. We love each other because he loved us first. If someone says, I love God, but hates a fellow believer, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? And he has given us this command, those who love God must also love their fellow believers. This goes back to being so simple, like, you know, this is so opposite from the worldview, you know. You're supposed to hate those who hate you, yet God tells us to love our enemies. And I think one important thing that God was showing me with all this is that, like, if there's somebody who you just have a really hard time loving, it's not, how do I love them? You know, you don't try to figure out how to love them. It's you go to God and get, because it says you love God first, and then you can love others. So God was showing me that if I'm having difficulty loving somebody, then it's not what is the problem between me and this person. It's, okay, I need to go to God, and God can show me what's the problem between me and God. And when that, you know, when you and God is in one, then it's so much easier to love others. So that's why it's so important. That's why basically Jesus was saying, if you love God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul, then it's so easy to love other people and fulfill all the commandments of God. So that's what I encourage you today is, you know, is love God, obviously, just like he says, with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and then love each other. So that's it.
Amen. Praise God. That was really good. So I'm gonna explain to you why I look funny today. I'm healed. So we were on the way back from Texas. I noticed that my face was doing weird things, and I thought I was having an allergic reaction to something we ate down there, you know, doing all new things. And so we're coming back, and it was getting pretty painful. And I noticed that I couldn't move one side of my face. And, you know, the first thing, usually when you can't move a side of your face, is you think you're having a stroke, you know? But I didn't have, like, any fear about anything. You know, I was feeling all this, but I just felt completely at peace. I knew the Lord was my healer. I texted Miss Shirley, and her and Brother Steve were here, and they prayed, and I just asked her to pray that we would know, you know, what to do. If we should go to the ER right away when I got back, or if we should make a doctor's appointment, you know. And we all felt like, Michael and I both felt, just in case it was a stroke, that I should probably go to the doctor right away, the ER. So we get there, and it turns out it's not a stroke. Thank God, it's Bell's palsy. So what happened was, and before I share this part, the very first, when I was sitting and it first started happening, the verse came to me that the Lord, his word is health to my flesh and marrow to my bones. And bones, that word kept coming to me that he was for my bones. So I get to the doctor, and they tell me that what's happened was, there's a little tiny bone that goes to your face, and all of your nerves, you have like all of your facial nerves that come out like a spider web over your face. And that little bone right there had gotten like inflamed and infected. So it was squeezing my nerve and cutting off, so I can't move my face on that side. And it was neat because it was like God was already showing me that he was healing me. He was already taking care of my bones. And so it was, the first few days were, praise the Lord. Like everybody was praying, and I needed it because it was very painful. So I still like can't move much, but it's every day it's getting a little better and a little better. So I just thank God for my healing. So if you're wondering what's going on with me, I am healed. And I appreciate the prayers. God is so good. Okay, so I've been thinking about, what series do I want to start? I love doing series because it's just my desire of my heart to go through a whole thing because I'm a teacher. So this is called God's Word, and I'm actually going to separate it out in the first few weeks or so. I'm going to go through the book of Hebrews, and then I'm going to go through what the Word of God, break down the verses about what the Word is to our lives. Like for me personally, God showed me that His Word was health to my flesh and marrow to my bones. I needed to hear that. I needed that personal word for my body, for my healing. I needed that. God has an exact word for each one of us. We just have to seek it out and listen to Him. His word is meant to bring us life. Amen. We need that life. So what I want to ask you is, what does God's word mean to you? Have you thought about it lately? Is it important to you, or is it just another book on the shelf? Is it just something you have, or is it really important to you? Unbelief and the traditions of men are what make the Word of God of none effect in our lives. But the Word of God is powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. But lies and distractions of this world are weakening and tearing down God's Word in our lives. It's amazing. How distractions are really pulling us away from God's word. We will listen to the things on the news, and we'll listen to different clips on our. We'll get distracted. Like me personally, I get distracted by my phone sometimes. So like, I have to make an effort in my flesh to put those distractions aside. I'm not going to read this today, but I'm going to read this as we go on in this series. This comes out of Mark 7, almost the whole chapter of Mark 7, 1 through 23. And it's basically where Jesus is telling people it's not what's on the outside. All these Pharisees, they want to say what's on the outside, but it's what's on the inside that matters. If you're not living right on the inside, it's going to show up on the outside. And if you're so busy and making yourself look good by the traditions of men to the things of this world and people around you, and making yourself look good, but your heart's not right, that is so critical to our faith. If our heart isn't right, the outside doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how good we look, it doesn't matter how bad we look. It matters what's on the inside. God starts at the inside. Sometimes we think that people haven't changed because He's still working on the inside. So we have to trust God's work in their lives. Amen. So this is what I want to tackle, not only, for all of us as a church, but for me and my family as well, is the lies and the distractions of the enemy, that we're trying to stick to men's traditions instead of going by God's word. We need His word in every area of our lives. It's the deepest truth that we need to hold on to, because then we can overcome the lies of the enemy. We need that word. So I want to start by establishing who the word was from the beginning. So if you turn to me to John chapter 1. And I'm going to start at verse 1. And this is the New Living Translation. I like using the New Living, but I just want to encourage you. I always start out with the King James because I like to hear how it was written and then hear how it's been translated again. I like to get a good thorough word in there. So John chapter 1 says, "In the beginning the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it." So without God's Word, none of us would exist today. There would be no life, no light, and without that light, we would be lost in darkness forever. Jesus was the Word made flesh to be our salvation by His sacrifice on the cross. This is the first revelation that you must have before the rest can truly be opened to you. We all must realize that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. If we don't realize that, we can't know that we need a Savior. Jesus is our Savior. He's the only Savior. There's no other Savior in the whole world. No religion, no anything in the world, not our own works. We can't save ourselves. Judgment has been set, but what we choose will affect us for eternity. I have to choose for myself. You have to choose for yourself. We can't choose for each other. I may want you to go to heaven, but you have to make that own choice. Amen. Jesus is waiting for person after person to understand His love for them. His Word has been spoken through these ages, and it will continue to speak. His love will continue to speak until that last soul has heard, "Jesus loves you." His love will keep speaking. So now I want you to turn to the book of Hebrews. And this is so interesting. This is so timely for today. You know, we face things that the first Christians faced in a lot of ways. You know, we have different advances nowadays and different technologies, and we can hear things all over the world. We have the instant everything. You know, back then they didn't, but they still had the same struggles that we had. And so I want to read this content of why Hebrews was written. But probably the most interesting thing about this is this Hebrews was written just a little bit before the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed, before everything was destroyed by the Romans. And it's interesting that it's like God knew what was going to happen, so he had to send His people, His prophets and his ministers, to minister to the people beforehand. And that's what God always does. He knows what's coming in the future, and He knows what we need to hear. Amen. And so they were just about to be destroyed by the Romans. And the interesting thing is, the Romans had come to such a hatred for them that when they came in and destroyed Israel, that they changed the name to Palestine in AD 70 because they wanted to erase Jews from existence. They wanted to just take away their heritage and take away everything that had to do with them. They wanted to destroy their faith completely. And so these Christians, they had to be strong in their faith to watch their cities being torn down, their livelihoods being destroyed. They had to be strong in their faith. So it says here, "Have you ever second-guessed yourself on a major decision and wondered if you made a big mistake? The letter to the Hebrews deals with this concern among some Jewish Christians. Apparently, after pressure and persecution, some believers were having second thoughts about their decision to leave Judaism to become Christians. So this letter shows how Christianity is superior to Judaism. In every way, Christ is shown to be better. As God, He is superior to angels, to Moses, and to the Old Testament priests. At the same time, Jesus Christ is fully human, so he is able to identify with our human struggles. Jesus Christ sealed a new covenant that is far superior to the old covenant of Judaism. So the author admonished the believers to move beyond questions about the basics of the faith. The believers were encouraged to follow the many examples of faithful men and women of the past who followed God in the midst of persecution. The author concluded with personal greetings and thoughts. And so that's my introduction to Hebrews that's in my Bible. And I just thought that was so interesting because I believe that in these last days that persecution is going to become heavier than it's ever been before. And God has a word for each one of us to prepare us for that. You know, just like the Romans wanted to erase the Jews from history, there are people that want to erase us as Christians. They want to take us out and cancel every single thing that we believe, everything that we stand for. But we must hold fast to our faith. We must hold fast to Jesus. He's the author and the perfecter of our faith. If we lean on the things of this world and on the news of this world and the word of this world, then we'll forget the true promises of God and the words that he has for us. Amen? So, Hebrews chapter 1, I'm going to read the first few verses in chapter 1, and then I'll go on to the rest of it. Long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And now in these final days, he has spoken to us through his Son. God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance, and through the Son, he created the universe. The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God, and he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. When he had cleansed us from our sins, he sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. So what this is explaining is Jesus is the Word, okay? So before being made flesh as a man on earth, he was the Word and he is God. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Throughout our whole existence, from the beginning of time, he has become the form that he has spoken through his prophets and his messengers. His final form and his appearance has not yet appeared to us. That's what we're waiting for. But it has been spoken and it will come true. Jesus is returning for his people. Amen. And then back to Hebrews, verse 4, chapter 1. This shows that the Son is far greater than the angels, just as the name God gave him is greater than their names. For God never said to any angel what he said to Jesus, "You are my Son. Today I have become your father." God also said, "I will be his father and he will be my son." And when he brought his supreme son into the world, God said, "Let all of God's angels worship him." Regarding the angels, he says, "He sends his angels like the winds, his servants like flames of fire." But to the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, endures forever and ever. You rule with a scepter of justice. You love justice and hate evil. Therefore, O God, your God has anointed you, pouring out the oil of joy on you more than on anyone else." He also says to the Son, "In the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundation of the earth and made the heavens with your hands. They will perish, but you remain forever. They will wear out like old clothing. You will fold them up like a cloak and discard them like old clothing. But you are always the same. You will live forever." And God never said to any of the angels, "Sit in the place of honor at my right hand until I humble your enemies, making them a footstool under your feet." Therefore, angels are only servants, spirits, sent to care for people who will inherit salvation. And then on to chapter 2. So we must listen very carefully to the truth we have heard. or we may drift away from it. For the message God delivered through angels has always stood firm, and every violation of the law and every act of disobedience was punished. So what makes us think we can escape if we ignore this great salvation that was first announced by the Lord Jesus himself and then delivered to us by those who heard him speak? Verse 4, chapter 2. And God confirmed the message by giving signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit whenever he chose. Verse 5, and furthermore, it is not angels who will control the future world we are talking about. For in one place the scriptures say, what are mere mortals that you should think about them, or a son of man that you should care for him? Yet for a little while, you made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You gave them authority over all things. Now when it says all things, it means nothing is left out. But we have not seen all things put under their authority. What we do see is Jesus, who for a little while was given a position a little lower than the angels. And because he suffered death for us, he is now crowned with glory and honor. Yes, by God's grace, Jesus tasted death for everyone. God, for whom and through whom everything was made, chose to bring many children into glory. And this is what I want you to just think about. Are you God's children? And it was only right that he should make Jesus, through his suffering, a perfect leader, fit to bring them into their salvation. So now Jesus and the ones he makes holy have the same Father. That is why Jesus is not ashamed to call them his brothers and sisters. For he said to God, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. I will praise you among your assembled people. He also said, I will put my trust in him. That is, I and the children God has given me. Because God's children are human beings, made of flesh and blood. The Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil who had the power of death. Only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. We also know that the Son did not come to help angels. He came to help the descendants of Abraham. And we all know, and I talked a few weeks ago about how we are the seed of Abraham. Amen. By faith. By faith we are that seed. Verse 17. Therefore, it was necessary for him to be made in every respect like us, his brothers and sisters, so that he could be our merciful and faithful high priest before God. Then he could offer a sacrifice that would take away the sins of the people. Since he himself has gone through suffering and testing, he is able to help us when we are being tested. And this is where every Christian, every one of us, we're going to go through different kinds of temptations. They're all meant to shake our faith and tear down our belief in Jesus Christ. And some temptations, you know, for some of us, they seem like they're easy things to go through. You know, they may seem, other people may think, oh, I've gone through that temptation, it's not that bad. But your level of temptation may be different from someone else, but it's still strong and still needs to be defeated by the power of Jesus Christ. Amen? So if right now in your heart you are facing questions that are causing doubt and unbelief, then I want to be like the writer of Hebrews and encourage you not to go back to the old ways. Don't go back to that old way of thinking, the traditions of men. There is no truer salvation than through Jesus. There is no stronger reassurance of eternal life. Amen? And I just want to close with this. Yesterday, when we were doing our first of the year prayer, Aunt Jessie had mentioned something, and it helped me see this vision of how Christians all around the world are all going through a lot of the same things. And whether they are in countries where they're being persecuted, or maybe they're in big churches or small churches or home churches, it doesn't matter. there are Christians who feel like they are stuck. They feel like there's like no way that like they're somehow doing the wrong thing, and it's just a lie of the enemy. That God has placed them right where those where they're supposed to be, and they're just they just need to stay faithful. And that's for all of us as God's people. Because and then God showed me how like Paul and Silas, you know, they were put in prison. If Paul had not been put in prison, if he had not rejoiced and sang praises while he was in prison, then that jailer and his family would not have been saved. So sometimes we may think that something bad has happened to us, and why are we in this situation, and why are we going through this thing? And God's like, I have you there for a reason. Just be faithful. And like it says in Hebrews, in chapter 1, it says, verse 9, therefore, O God, your God has anointed you, pouring out the oil of joy on you more than on anyone else. That anointing is inside of us when we have Jesus on the inside of us. He is our God. And when our hearts are open to him, we receive that joy. And that joy is what people need. Amen. They need to know. Like, if I came up to you with a grumpy face and said, God loves you, you know, I'd probably be like, okay, there's something wrong there. But when the joy of the Lord is in my heart, I want you to know that God loves you. You know, like right now I have a really hard time smiling, but I'm smiling on the inside. You know, but it doesn't take away the joy that God has put in my heart. You know, it doesn't take away the truth of his word in my life. So that's what I want to just encourage you with is if you're feeling like maybe you're stuck or maybe you don't know, you know, where God wants you to be, just be faithful in what God has shown you to do right now. Just be faithful in that thing. Just keep going with what God wants you to do right now. Don't worry about the future. Don't worry about the many months down the line. God already has that taken care of. Amen. It says in Isaiah that the future is in his hands. He knows. He knows what's going to happen. He knows what you need. He knows what you're going through. And he cares about you. Amen. So I just want to reaffirm what Michael spoke earlier. You know, love God and love people. Like, that was such an awesome revelation. You know, if you don't know how to love people, go to God first. Love God first. Do that first and watch how you can love others. Amen. All right, you can go ahead and stand and we'll pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your word today. Lord, right now we come before you individually, Father. Lord, where our hearts have not been open to you, God, we just ask you would open up our hearts. Jesus, you are knocking on the door of our hearts saying, let me in. Let me come in and eat with you. Let me come in and be a part of you. Let me be the Lord of your life. So Jesus, we say yes to you. We say yes to all that you want to do in our lives. In Jesus' name, if there's anyone in here, if you're just not sure if Jesus is the Lord of your life, I just ask right now that you would open up your heart to him. He has such a special plan and purpose for your life. He's not done with you yet. He has such an awesome, awesome plan for your life. If you would just say yes to him in Jesus' name. And Lord God, we just thank you for our time next door, Lord. We thank you for the precious fellowship. It says in your word, God, that where two or more are gathered, that you are right here in the midst. So we thank you that we gather in your name, Jesus. We thank you that you are our healer. You are our redeemer. We trust in you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You are dismissed.